The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Oracle. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever. Do more and spend less like some of the world's most successful companies. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/LinkedIn Podcast Network.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to The Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engaged. I'm a Wall Street alum, top WBE CEOs, and recently LinkedIn top voice for racial equity. I'm here with my co-host, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik. I'm a business leader. I'm a diversity, equity, and inclusion executive. And most importantly, I'm a working mother.
So listen, if you all have been following the show, you know Mita and I started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in the workplace from my perspective as a Black woman and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. At our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out about our experiences, but then we provide you with tips that you need, not how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations? So because Mita and I have earned and worked hard for this platform, and by the way, we thank you all for listening, we want to lift up as many women of color as possible, including founders. And if you follow Mita on IG, LinkedIn, or anywhere on social, you will know she is a beast in tracking everyone who is doing what in the marketplace. She always has her eye on, you know, people of color, but also all dimensions of diversity. She's really good at that. So who do you want to shout out today, Mita?
So I am really excited to shout out today Blossom Box Jewelry. I will tell you more about them in a second. But for those who are listening, who are skeptical, this is not a paid advertisement. Dee and I are just on a mission to lift up as many women of color as possible. For me particularly, and for Dee, that's founders who are women of color. And so the people we're shouting out actually don't know. We are going to shout them out. So let's just be clear. But Dee, Blossom Box Jewelry, when you and I got together for dinner to celebrate our podcast and all the momentum, you were like, where did you get those earrings? And so Reka, who's the founder of Blossom Box Jewelry, creates these amazing pieces that are inspired by her Indian cultural upbringing. And Dee, I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but when I would spend summers in India, and my relatives and my mom and dad would buy me beautiful Indian jewelry, I would wear it to school and I was bullied and made fun of. And so for many years, I stopped wearing Indian jewelry. And it's only as an adult now that I feel like I've re-embraced my culture and heritage and wearing them with Western clothes. They're just so beautiful. So please go and support Blossom Box Jewelry.
I love it. I love that you're really leaning into that. And this is you. Like, people don't know. You are a big champion of, I feel like, all dimensions of diversity, but particularly people of color. You support, you buy, you fund, baby, you write checks, okay? But before we get into today's topic, I really like this for you, the jewelry, and I am actually going to get me some ear candy. It's ear candy. I think that's becoming your signature. You know how I always have the, you know, the frames, and so your thing is ear candy. So anyway, okay, enough about that. Mita, what are we talking about on this episode of Brown Table Talk?
So on this episode, we are going to talk about, it's a call to allies. Dear allies, let's discuss the Honorable Judge Jackson's confirmation hearing. And I just have to celebrate because she's confirmed. Dee.
Yay!
Confirmed! Ketanji Brown Jackson will be joining the U.S. Supreme Court. And so why we want to talk about this in particular is because, listen, we started Brown Table Talk because Dee and I have each other. We're constantly jamming, talking about these issues. And this is a historic current event that we need to unpack. And we wanted to talk about it from the lens of allyship. And so we have, Dee, as you know, a lot of international listeners. And so if you don't know the backstory, the Honorable Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson went through a confirmation hearing that lasted about 2 days, 11 hours each day, nationally televised. Mm-hmm. Nationally televised in the US. So this was something that many of us were watching and discussing. And so what I particularly wanted to talk about today with you, Dee, is while this is a moment to celebrate, as you said in social media, stop what you're doing, celebrate the cement ceiling being mm-hmm. broken. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of pain. And so I wanted to talk to you and ask you particularly why this was traumatizing and triggering for Black women, what allies need to understand and know and be educated on about. And I just wanted to thank you personally, because I know that you're my co-host, but you're also a Black woman and you show yep. up as a Black woman, and that this was painful for you as well. So I just want to thank you for giving us the space and talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, thanks, friend. Yeah, so this is just such a powerful moment in history, but I also appreciate that we have a case study, a live case study on, you know, what it's like to be a Black woman, a working Black woman, an educated Black woman, an accomplished Black woman, or just a Black woman. Yes. And I know women of color have similar experiences, but Black women, it's just, it's different. And so this was traumatizing so many levels because it is the most historic interview panel.
Yes, you texted me that. I'm sorry. Can we just say, drop the mic?
Yes.
Drop mic moment.
Yes.
You texted me that. She said, which is why we're doing this. You said, this is a business case study. This is the most historic interview panel on a national stage. And we all should be dissecting it. Every yep. single leader in corporate America needs to be talking about this. So back over to you, Dee. But I had to, when yep. you texted me that, I was floored.
I knew you fell out. You fell, right? Because you're like, oh my God, this is exactly how it goes. This is yes. exactly yes. it. And so let's break this down. It yes. was traumatizing, one, because it's a grueling process to interviewing. And when you know there are people in the room who will not be for you. So grueling process. It's a long process. We already know we have to show up and prove and reprove. That's not even a word, but I like to say we are responsible reprove. Or we have to prove ourselves and then prove again and then always defend. So grueling again, because she is the most qualified. So one, qualified, but then being questioned about her credentials, being judged for the way that she thinks and her values and the way, you know, that she processes. So there was all of that. And then having to respond to questions that had nothing to do with the job, that had nothing to do with the role, that had nothing to do with anything. There was just so much there. So it was just very traumatizing. I've had friends say, I could not watch. And the reason some could not watch because they've been there and they, you know, it's just brings them back to the time where they've been called back for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 interviews. The times where, you know, they have been brought back and told, well, you know, you didn't get the job, but you were in the top three, right? Or you were in the top two, or you were the second in line, knowing that you were qualified, but having to say, well, we're not quite sure this is the right fit, or not quite ready to move in that direction, or we're going to go in another direction. It was just, there was just so much there. But I think the live interview was people who are asking questions who are not qualified. Let's just start with that. Okay. People who are asking questions who are not qualified, people who are asking questions who, you know, the disrespect, there's just so much here. So I don't know, friend, it's just so much emotion.
And we call things by their name here at the Brown Table Talk podcast. It was racist.
Yeah.
As I was observing, as many of us were watching the hearing, the way in which white men who were on the interview panel, let's create that analogy. It is what it is, an interview panel.
Yes.
The way in which they spoke to her in a condescending, derogatory tone, interrupted her again and again, undermined, questioned, re-questioned. And I would argue that the only ally in the room who had the microphone and was on the interview panel was Senator Cory Booker. And what I also read in the New York Times, which I think is important for allies to understand, and I know, Dee, you shared this, many Black women did not watch the hearing While many allies think, wow, this is a historic moment. Yes, we all want to watch this. There are many Black women who did not watch it because it was too hurtful. Because just as you said, this is what's happening to Black women every single day in closed rooms, in virtual rooms, mm-hmm. and there aren't witnesses. It's not a national stage. There aren't witnesses.
Yep, absolutely. There's no witnesses and there aren't any allies in the room.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the LinkedIn Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The thing I wanted to bring up, Dee, when we call things what they are, which is racist.
Yep.
From a U.S. perspective, if you're not in the U.S., again, education, it was just a few years ago that Brett Kavanaugh also went through confirmation hearings on national stage. He now serves as a justice. If you did not watch those hearings that were also nationally televised, you watch it and you see him getting angry,
mm-hmm.
interrupting the interview panel, clearly losing his temperament. And so then I watch that and I think about just what happened recently. And I think, wow, if the Honorable Judge Brown Jackson did that, she would have been stereotyped and deemed an angry Black woman who lost her temperament. And so if you think I am criticizing Brett Kavanaugh, Saturday Night Live already did it. Saturday Night Live created a skit about that interview panel and his performance. And so that for me, is like there are two comparators right there.
There is. And might I add, he is, let's see, he only meets three of the seven criteria for the bench. Mm-hmm. So Kavanaugh, three, the Honorable Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, seven. So Kavanaugh, I think Ivy League school is one of three, because we're going to pull up these receipts here. And then Supreme Court clerking. So yes, he was a clerk.
Yes.
And then let's see, court appeals judge. But he did not meet public defender, sentencing commission, district judge. So again, she is more qualified. So you should go ahead and continue, my friend.
Pull up the receipts. That's what we do here. That's what we do here at the Brown Table Talk. So Dee, I wanted to bring this back again to the workplace. And you know, because you've been on this journey with me, you have picked me up off the floor more times than I can count. You have picked up the phone whenever I've called you night or day, because I have been the finalist or the one of two final candidates for some really big jobs. I won't name them. You know them all. And every single time I was qualified and you would say to me, overqualified. And so what do you have to say, or what do you remember saying to me in those moments where I didn't get the job and I was, as you would say, had the receipts?
Yes, I would say what I know to be true is that you were a threat. And I would say Asian, South Asian women today are a bigger threat. Prior to the November 2020 election. I think you all were unassuming, genius, beautiful creatures, South Asian people and South Asian women in particular. But what I said to you is you are overqualified and you are now a threat. And it is now amplified because the number two person in this country, the leader of the free world, the number two is a South Asian, a Black South Asian woman, and it amplified South Asian women. And so if you are South Asian woman listening right now, I'm talking to you as I had this conversation with my girlfriend here, Mita, is that you are a threat because you essentially have made and been part of history in this country. South Asian women are like Black women. We are historic, right? In terms of gender. So that's what I said to you, my friend. I said haters back then, but I said, now, Mita, you are going to feel the wrath of the nays. So that's why it's the nays.
She did say that. She did say that. She did say that. So Dee, what I also wanted to talk about right now was the fact that we had this wild text chain, which we always do with the Brain Trust. We were chatting about the confirmation hearings, and I came up with this article that still is bothering me that I need to talk to all of you about. There was many articles like this about the hearings. I'm not going to call out the publication because we're just not going to do that. And the article is something along the lines of this, the lessons you can learn on how to deal with high-stress interviews from Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings. Okay, so what's fascinating about this article, Dee, is I think only at two points do they mention that she's Black to identify her and to say, and the first African-American woman on the court in its 233-year history was a masterclass in high-stress, high-profile interviews and speaking engagements. So I am just going to read you some of the headlines so we can all hear. You can understand why I am so upset. Here are the lessons we can learn. Two types of preparation are essential for grounding. Think before you speak and speak slowly. Focused on why you're there and what the goal is. Keep it short. Own your record of achievement. Be aware of your body language and verbal tics. Be overly respectful and grateful and assume the best intentions. Assume the best intentions. Remain calm, poised, dignified, gracious, and centered. I believe this was written by a white woman, but I cannot confirm, so don't come after me, y'all. I don't know. But here's what we talk about at our table. Where is the cultural lens through this? Yep. The fact that her lived experience as a Black woman, that is at the center of this and that interview panel. And so Dee, what I just had this whole epiphany around was, why are we telling the Black woman, why are we applauding that she had to be unflappable, graceful under pressure, keep her cool? Why aren't we talking about the interview panel? So this is the flip. Why is she the center of the story to say, here are all the ways in which she showed up for this interview? No, she was forced to show up that way. She was forced to show up that way because of the interview panel. One more thing I want to say, and I'm passing the mic to you, Dee, but I was talking to a white woman friend yesterday who is an ally, and I told her that you and I were talking about this, and I was like, I can't believe this publication. And my friend was like, there's been a number of articles written from that vantage point. And so I am like, where are the editors who are allowing these things to be published? I gotta simmer down.
Yeah, it's their blind spot. I know. I love it, friend. But you know what? You're such a ride or die. I appreciate you, friend. You are ticked. When you sent that to me, and even today, that was weeks ago. But you know what? It's a blind spot. It's a blind spot. So when you talk about the editor, where are the editors? Where's the quality control? So editors listening, let's hyperlink on, right? Make a note of, you know, how you are, I guess, evaluating or the standards that you have in terms of editorial content when it comes to these things. And I love you from the executive lens. You're always catching where there is a foul and a flag on the field. And so you're right, like looking at the interview panel, who is not really even qualified to be on the panel. They are not even qualified. You not qualified to interview the Honorable Justice. So when you have people who are less qualified, then certainly they're going to come up with tactics to find a loophole or find a way to jab. So, but I do think the standard is just, let's call it STO. Write that down, everybody. STO. Sit this out.
STO.
Sit this out. Sit it out. Sit. Sit this out.
I'm gonna fall off my chair. Sit this out.
Sit this out. Sit this one out. Or let's just say, I'm gonna go back to that contributor writer. Let's say they are an expert in the field, right? Of, I don't know, interviewing, coaching. I think because we don't know the author, I think we need to remember the benchmark is knowing that women of color in general, Black women in particular, have a unique experience, a different experience. So when you are advising, when you are coaching, when you are training, you have to see things through that lens. So that's a takeaway. There you go. We're going to drop that for free. And then on all the publications, there needs to be some benchmarks or standards and some advice. Consider the lived experience. The work experience is unique. If you are a woman, number one, if you're a woman of color, number two, if you're a Black woman in particular, because we're talking about and leaving this space for the Honorable Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. So yes, yeah, sit this out. Let's just go back to this individual, pay another partner, a consultant who does see things through a multicultural lens to help render some insight or an opinion, but let's STO if you cannot see through a multicultural lens.
Yes, diverseandengage.com. I have a full-time job, y'all, but this is what Dee does. So media, if you need help, call Dee, call her team. This is what they do. I am floored by the coverage.
Go deeper because we had this conversation offline. Go deeper on that interview panel. Like, you know, who... In fact, for HR right now, for human resources, who are they?
Well, who is on the panel? Into?
That's right.
Yeah, who
That's
are
right.
they calling? Are they qualified? What are the questions they're asking? And we talk about this. Senator Cory Booker was the only ally who showed up on that panel for her. There was many other allies in the room. He was the one on the panel who had the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But also, here's the flip. I don't understand why she is being applauded for being cool, calm, and collected under pressure. We should be talking about the interview panel, right? Like, mm-hmm. why are we saying that's a masterclass in interviewing? You have just totally negated her experience, her lived experience as a Black woman. That's like, if I'm interviewing Dee and I'm just like pummeling her, and it's like, oh, but Dee was so cool, calm, and collected. No, you should be holding me accountable for the questions I'm asking and the way in which I'm asking them. And what are the standards, right?
Yeah.
What are the standards?
Yeah. Now, but let me jump in here as well. Senator Cory Booker, he was a hero for all of us in that moment, particularly Black women. But also, here's an opportunity for allies. Senator Dick Durbin, remember, he had a clash with the other one. I don't even want to say his name. And so we do need that. That is an example. So write that down. If you're taking notes, just watch the tape of Senator Dick Durbin. So if you identify as a white cisgender male, even a white cisgender female here, then that's a good example of what do you do in the moment while you are in the interview, right? Because Senator Booker is a Black man. But look, we need other allies. So we need a Senator Dick Durbin to go. You're going to take one for the team. Senator, check your dude. Check your guy. Y'all better get Ted Cruz. Yes, I said y'all. Okay. Get him.
You know what was fascinating too? Is like the debrief was happening live. It's not like workplaces where you're doing these interview one-on-one and then you're going. It's all live on stage. So there's so many lessons to learn. Exactly what you're saying. If I say, well, I'm not sure Dee is qualified. I don't know if she has the credentials. Who's going to check me and say, well, what do you mean by that?
Yes.
Let's pull up the receipts. That's actually not true.
Yes.
Here are the points. Here are the 7 points, right? And so I love that, Dee. On that interview panel, checking each other. I'm not going to say bias. I'm going to say in that case, it was racism.
Right, right.
And.
Right, right.
In our workplaces when we see these things coming up. Anyways, oh my God.
This is good. I have one more. I want to just say real quick to my WG girlfriends. My WG, if you all have listened to the show before, my WG are my white girlfriends. I have a few good friends. They text me behind. They're super yummy. They're amazing people. But to my WG girlfriends, let's imagine you are Amy. You are Justice Amy. Is it Amy Barrett? You know, the other justice, the other one who was confirmed. And she's not qualified. If you know you're not qualified, we need you to say, nope, she's qualified. She should be here. So don't feel intimidated, uncomfortable, and awkward that you are less qualified. Nope. If you're just in the room, say, you know what? You be the one. Hold the space for me. Hold the space for Mita. And know that together we are better. We are better together than we are apart. Oop, write that down. Tweet that. WG sister friends in the room. All my WG girlfriends, because actually I have quite a few of them. They're super cute and yummy. They advocate for me. Let me just tell you. But I want you to imagine you are Amy. And for those of you who don't know, remember Amy Barrett. What's her receipts look like? She has 2 of 7. She meets the criteria 2 of 7. Kavanaugh, 3 of 7. Mentor is the most qualified next to Justice Ketanji. So my WG girlfriends, don't feel bad. In fact, my WG girlfriends, no shame, no shade if you are less qualified. If you are in the room and we are being interviewed, I'm just asking you, how do you make this right when you see we are being disrespected, when we are being, you know, disregarded, when you see the racism, you could speak up, my friend.
You see something, you hear something, you say something.
Say something.
Listen, we could do another 5 hours on this, but we're ready to wrap. So we're going to head to the tips. We dropped a lot of gems in here. So hopefully you all can go back and listen to our conversation. We always love to leave tips at the end for Brown Table Talk. And Dee, today we're going to do things differently. We're going to leave tips for allies in the form of questions that we hope will allow you to self-reflect. We talked about the confirmation hearing. Now, what does that look like in our workplaces? And what should you be thinking about how you can show up, do better, be better? So I'm going to do the first two and hand it over to Dee for the last three. So number one, how are you as a leader reinforcing different standards and expectation for Black women versus white men? What is acceptable and what is not? And I'm just going to say, as Dee said, when you see something, hear something, say something. Number two, are you allowing for the voices of the Black women in your workplaces to be heard? Dee, take us home.
And number three, are you interrupting Black women? Do you give them credit and recognition for their work? Question number four, are you doing the work to build meaningful relationships with Black women in your life? And the last question, are you dismissing or minimizing their experiences? Mita?
Oof. Well, we always leave you with tips. But listen, you want some more tips? You want coaching and advice? Go to DC Marshall. Go to Diverse and Engage, www.diverseandengage.com. And yes, that's what we do. We are publicists for each other. Please, Dee and team can help you. We are so happy that you joined us today. We love this community. Thank you for being part of the Brown Table Talk podcast. If you loved our conversation, please share it with another woman of color in your life who's looking for community and conversation. And please share it with allies, because we need allies showing up to do better and be better for all of us. See you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.